What's kicking, chickens? Welcome back to Can We Fix It? I'm your host, Maura Walsh, joined as always by my lovely and talented co-host, Jen Douglas. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. I had third graders today, and they fucking broke me, dude. They broke me.
Well, you're like half dead anyway.
I know. I'm just recovering from like the worst sickness. And like, I say this as somebody who gave birth to a child with a head like a watermelon. I say this as somebody who cut her finger to the bone and did not go get stitches. Okay. I thought I was dying. And when I say that, like, I mean that shit, like dying. I was just telling Jen before we started recording that, like, my boyfriend came home and found me in my bathrobe with two blankies on, sweating and shivering at the same time, and was just like, oh, buddy. Just like, oh, yeah.
It was bad.
I was tragic.
It was bad. I knew it was bad when you texted me, and you're like, can you please check on me in the morning to make sure I'm alive? Like, yeah, I got you, boo. I promise.
And no, literally, like, oh, girl, it was so bad. It took me, like, 20 minutes to get up the stairs in my apartment. It was, oh, it was tragic. It was, I have not been
There's
that
like
sick.
Eight stairs, everyone.
It is eight stairs.
Is terrible.
Eight stairs. That's how long it took me. And yeah, I have not been that sick in a good long while. And like, woof, I am wearing a mask around my son from now on. Fuck that shit. I don't give a crap. I'm wearing a mask to bed.
The little germ vectors. It's bad.
I'm wearing a mask during sex. Like, I don't, like, fuck it. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm wearing my mask 24/7. Get your fucking germy piece of shit faces away from me. I hate all of you.
I'm just going to turn that into some kind of kink. It'll be fine.
Oh, no. Yeah, mask kink. That's my thing. I'm really into mask kink. As in, put your fucking mask on or we're not having sex. But on the upswing, we do have another Back to the Races special for you guys today. I know we already did a deep dive into all the gossip and beef surrounding the governor and lieutenant governor races. But I also think it's time that we do a deep dive into the actual governor candidates themselves, the gubernatorial candidates. There can only be one gubernator! So Jen and I have each picked our three candidates that we're going to talk about. We've got the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What do we want to start with? Do you want to start off with one?
Yeah, we're just chit-chatting about them tonight, right? We each have a good, a bad, and an ugly.
Yes.
And I'll start with my good. My good is Ms. Nelly Gorbea.
Mm-hmm.
She is the good one that I was assigned this evening, and I'm always happy to have her. She is our current Secretary of State, and honestly, I don't have anything terrible to say about her. I'm always a fan of Nelly. I think she's done good work as our Secretary of State. Do we have anything bad? Do we have any bad news about Nelly?
Not
I like how she handled voting during the pandemic. I like how she pretty much told people, fuck you, we are, you know, we're voting by mail. You're getting your mail-in ballots. You are, you know, we're not going to have you get your mail ballots notarized because that's stupid. And I appreciated that from her. And
anytime,
I'm okay with that.
Anytime you can do something meaningful in a meaningless position, I'm more impressed, right? Because a lot of those jobs are jobs where you could, if you wanted to, sit on your ass for 4 years. You know,
right.
You just make sure that the elections run the way they've always run, smooth enough, I guess, and like rest on your laurels. But no, as far as I know, she's done pretty good things. I think closer to we'll get a deep dive into the differences policy wise, but there are so many fucking candidates right now that like we need to just do a straight up overview.
Yeah.
So
overview wise, that's my overview.
Right.
I don't know a lot about her policy at this point, to be perfectly honest, because I don't really know if she has put out that much, really.
Well, she was pro mask mandate in schools when Governor McKee wasn't.
Yeah, when no one else was jumping on that.
Because I recall very clearly, Governor McKee, Governor McKee came out and said, you know, I'm not going to mandate masks. If you want to send your kids in masks, send your kids in masks. And then, Angelica Infante Green was like, okay, well, you don't have to mandate masks, but I'm mandating masks in Providence schools because fucking duh. And especially during Delta, a variant, which was like primarily being passed through children, like you fucking, oh God, you're so stupid, Dan. And Gorbea came out and was like, yeah, I agree. We definitely need to be wearing masks. Like, this is not the time to be capitulating to, like, anti-maskers and anti-vaskers. Like, the health and safety of the public is, you know, of great concern and should be to all of us. And McKee's spokespeople basically came out with, like, this douchey-ass press release that was like, we know that Secretary Gorbea has to like remain relevant by politicizing these issues, but Governor McKee just has access to a broader reservoir of knowledge and data, and he knows what he's doing. Thanks. And it was just
and then like Two days later, walked it back and was like, oh, yeah, we got more knowledge and data, and we're going to mandate those masks for everyone.
Which, honestly, was such a Dan way to do it, you know?
Of course it was.
The worst way possible.
Because first Nelly did it, and then Seth did it, and then he saw how popular it was, and he was like, oh, I guess I should do it, too. There's my data. I'm going to walk this one back, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
So my good candidate, and I say this, hold your boos and hisses, people, is Seth Magaziner. And I did not want to like Seth because I am a judgy, hypocritical bitch, and I judge books by their cover all the time. And I saw another tall, mayonnaise, Ivy League politician, and I was just like, cool, you are so interchangeable with like a dozen other people, and I do not care about you. And over the years, he has just consistently grown on me. He, in addition to being like a really nice dude, used to be a public school teacher, worked his way up the political rungs, and has like made some really impressive strides in the treasurer's office. I don't know if you've collected any of your free money. I collect it every 6 months or so. I go and check about my free money on the treasury website.
I did. I got like $27 from an old bank account once. It was pretty
right?
cool.
It's no, it's such a nice, it's like finding 20 bucks in your pocket, except like a little bit more legwork on your part. But again, once again, same compliment as with Nelly, like doing something meaningful in a meaningless position.
And he is also just a very nice human being. I, you know, we might not see eye to eye on all the issues. He might not be as leftist as I am, but neither are a whole bunch of other people. But he is a very exceedingly good human.
Yeah, when I was first beefing with the speaker, he personally called me and offered me like emotional support and was like really really kind and helpful. He donated to my reelection campaign when the speaker ran somebody against me. He's just, yeah, he's a really good dude. And what you said about, like, he might not be as left as we are. Like, I was reading the Uprise article today by Alex Marash.
I read that, too.
And there was this amazing quote that said, come what may, we are seeing a left that is coming into its own. When we see such a large, vibrant leftist movement emerge, the contrast between us and liberals is revealed to be far starker than most realize. And that's okay.
Right.
What a concept that our multi-party system have multiple parties.
Exactly. That's okay. And that was the phrase that I liked about it, too. I loved reading that article because it did. It made me feel okay. We are all allowed to have different political opinions. It's okay. I can still think Seth is a very decent, very nice human being. He knocked doors for me. He called me when I lost my election, and he was so nice. And I just genuinely like him. And I'm not going to apologize for it.
Preach.
You know?
Preach. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the bad, because you know that I've got more fun for this. And Jen, this is one of those times where I feel like you and I are probably not going to be on the same side.
I think we're not. And again, that's okay.
So Matt Brown for governor. Listen, everybody thinks that I'm some like co-op fangirl and that I like blindly stand behind every decision they make. Like, I don't think that Matt Brown was a great idea for governor.
Well, you have your own theories on this anyway.
Right. Have I done this on the pod already?
No, you haven't told your conspiracy theory on the pod.
Okay.
Good reveal.
Tinfoil hats on, folks.
Tinfoil hat time.
I don't think that Matt Brown actually wants to win the governor's race. I think Matt Brown is running for governor so that Cynthia Mendez wins the lieutenant governor's race. Hear me out. A Mendez versus Matos matchup without any extra publicity on it is boring. Those are two very similar candidates. Nobody's going to pay attention to that. Nobody cares. A ticket with Matt Brown and Cynthia Mendez being the first ticket that anybody's ever run, you know, of two people who arguably do not have to run together, running together, is drawing all of this attention to a race that otherwise is not a sexy race. Who gives a shit about the lieutenant governor's race? No offense, Cynthia. Love you very much. Would love for you to be the LG. But let's be real. Dan didn't, like, make his name on the mean streets of Cumberland, you know, as our lieutenant governor. So I think Matt Brown is such low-hanging fruit when it comes to political attack ads. Like, he has done so much dumb shit. He's been fined. He's owed money. He's, like, done his campaign finance wrong. And this is coming from somebody who has also done their campaign finance wrong on multiple occasions. Like, when I was my own treasurer, holy shit, that shit made me sweat. You know what I mean? I was like, math and detective work, my two least favorite things. But, like, I didn't get fined thousands with an ass of dollars for my fuck-ups. I just feel like either he genuinely doesn't know how bad his reputation is, or, like, he knows how bad his reputation is and is using it to their advantage in terms of, like, all publicity is good publicity. So those are my thoughts on Matt. I don't think Matt is a particularly, especially in this field, I don't think Matt is a particularly good candidate for governor.
Interesting. I think, obviously, I differ from you in this one. And see, it's funny because my perspective obviously is so different because I know Matt well, and he's my friend, and I love him. And I see, and I do know that he has an image problem, because if you don't know Matt, you don't know Matt. But his heart, when I tell you his heart is truly in the right place, when it comes to wanting to help people, and what he says is truly what he believes. When he looks and he sees inequities that he wants to fix, like, he really does mean that, and he really does want to get in there and change it. And I think that he sees him and Cynthia as truly a team that can get in there and do the things that he has been envisioning for, God, a million years now. And I do think that a lot of the bad publicity is overblown publicity, that, you know, the party has really, and Raimondo and all of the opposition research that was done against him that got blown out of the water, you know, blown up by the press for years when he was running and kind of got a bit overblown, I think really worked against him, unfortunately. And it's hard to kind of shake that. And I'm hoping that now with some time and maybe more effort on his part to really get people to understand where he's coming from and know him better will help people understand him more.
I mean,
we'll see.
Maybe
we have a year.
Right. But again, I think that also leans into my theory of he doesn't know what an image problem he has. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he expected that people were going to be this upset about things that happened that long ago. And I think that that was short-sighted on his part. And also, just comparatively, like when you put Matt Brown up next to Cynthia Mendes, like, she blows him out of the water. She is squeaky fucking clean. That woman is a fucking beast. She's fearless and, like, fierce and in charge. And I don't know. I feel like there were better options to, if they wanted to showcase what a good team they were, there were better options. Whereas, you know, Cynthia's doing the heavy lifting.
I don't think you can put Cynthia with anyone. I think Cynthia blows everyone. When I tell you, I think Cynthia is the pinnacle of who you would want in a leader anywhere. I don't think you could match her up with anyone.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Because really, she is just the best. I mean, and I say that, obviously I'm biased because I love Cynthia, but she is just... she's the best, and I don't think that you could put anyone with Cynthia and have them look good, because everybody pales.
Right.
Everybody will pale in comparison to Cynthia.
And I will
if you ran her as governor, the whole state of Rhode Island would have said, what qualifies her to be governor?
Oh, absolutely.
So she would have been fucked there, too.
Right. I think lieutenant governor was a smart move for her,
absolutely.
For sure. And I think that her v. Matos is no comparison. Matos is a lifelong politician. She's an establishment Democrat. She was council president. Mm-hmm. She has been in politics a really, really long time. I can't think off the top of my head of something that she personally did that impacted our city. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be
right,
if you're going to be around that long, you got to be exemplary. You can't just rest on your laurels.
Yep. And again, I met her this weekend. I think she's a very nice lady. I have nothing against her, but
she's boring.
She's not very
also,
bold.
If,
she's boring, you know.
If Cynthia, Senator Mendes, if you do not win your election, you can come be lieutenant governor of my life and just, like, whip this shit into shape, because I know you could.
Exactly. 100%.
Who's your bad
Cynthia
candidate?
Cynthia could run the world. Well, unfortunately, we have the bad and the ugly, and I've got Dan McKee and Paul Rana Jr. on my list, so I don't know which one is
Let's
which.
Put Dan McKee in bad, and let us count the ways.
Let's do it, my friend. Dan, the forgettable man.
Oh, he's making a name for himself now with all the stealing. He didn't take long on that.
Yeah, let's get into the, what are we getting into, the ILO?
Yeah!
The shit that we're into right now? Yeah, this is not a good look.
This is not a good look. A story just dropped by Eli Sherman that newly released emails show that Governor Dan McKee's senior staff was closely involved in the bidding process that eventually led to the state awarding a controversial $5.2 million contract to the brand new consulting firm ILO Group LLC. Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
We've all established, particularly on this podcast, that anytime you see the word consulting, you can safely assume front. Like, consulting businesses are such bullshit. Like, how much weight does their opinion have that it is worth $5.2 million? What have they ever done that suggests that their opinion on any fucking issue in our budget or our state is worth that kind of money? Because that's what we're paying for, just so we're clear. When you're paying a consulting firm that kind of money, you're paying for their opinion on something. They're not doing anything for you physically.
I cannot even wrap my head around the fact. But let's be clear, they like to make it known that it could be up to $5 million. It may be less.
Oh,
I like to make that known. It may
thanks, guys.
Be less.
Thanks,
come
guys.
On, guys. We don't give a shit that it might be less. We know you're going to milk it for the full $5 million. Let's make that clear.
Also, ILO, when we say like a brand new firm, it was incorporated the same week that McKee took office. And is led by former staffers at Chiefs for Change, a nonprofit led by Mike McGee, a Dan McKee advisor.
You can't even make this up.
And then we've got the emails with Nicole McKee, which is Dan's niece, like talking behind the teachers' backs and being like, oh well, like don't tell anybody though, okay? Because it's like super sensitive right now. It's just cronyism at work, as always. So I think it's pretty obvious why he is the bad candidate in that scenario.
So people have said before, prove to us when you say things like corrupt political establishment. This is what we are talking about when we use the words corrupt political establishment.
When your advisor opens up a brand new consulting firm and you pay it $5.2 million or possibly less of not your dollars, Dan, not your dollars, our very much our dollars. Like, I'm just saying, you know, that maybe that's what we mean by corrupt establishment politicians. That's all.
That's the definition that you're looking for.
I'm glad we could clear that up.
Yes. And people have been asking.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, people have been fucking asking. We got to get into some of the shit that people have been asking, but we will do that. We've got several candidates left to go. So when we say the ugly, we just mean, like, there's this category of just weird candidates for governor. Just they're weird, man. Like, I don't know how to feel about them. I'm definitely not voting for any of them, probably. I mean, yeah, some really weird
down
complication, but, like, these are some weird choices, okay?
Unless I'm actively having a stroke, I'm not voting for any of them.
Right. So, starting with, Luis Daniel Munoz, who seems like a perfectly nice guy, but there's only like four people voting for him. I see one tweet about him every 6 weeks, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's also running. Like, unless he gets an influx of like $4 million and like learns how to run a real campaign, he doesn't have a chance, and therefore I'm not wasting my vote.
And it's more of like his online stance that really turned me off for him, because they are
hardcore,
man. They are scary as shit. I forgot about him one day as a candidate, and they came for my fucking neck. I'm all set. I don't even want to talk about him.
Yeah,
there's
only four people voting for him, but they are fucking loyal as hell. They are ride or die, and they will fucking cut you. It's like, remember Andrew Yang's, like, really loud and aggressive 30 voters? It's like that. What's one of your weird candidates?
Oh, God, that Paul Rihanna Jr. He is...
I've literally only read his name. Like, give me some depth to him.
Oh, well, he's, like, legitimately strange, weirdo guy. He's been a big power player at these anti-vax rallies that they've been having at the State House for the healthcare workers. He likes to put himself front and center.
There's no such thing as a power player amongst anti-vaxxers, because they're all weak.
If there is one, he has positioned himself to be that one. It's him. I sat through a 35-minute interview today, so you don't have to, and it was something else. All misinformation.
Republican,
CNA,
I'm assuming.
In a hospital system, or an unemployed CNA now, I'm assuming.
Republican, I'm assuming.
No, independent, but he has the Republican platform. I'll protect your two-way rights, your my body, my choice when it comes to vaccines.
But nothing else.
Nothing else of substance at all. And he obviously has a reading comprehension problem, too, because He has no Twitter presence at all, except for in his replies to every single thread about vaccinations. He tweets out the same press release on vaccines. And the press release was released on August 23rd, and it is when the FDA gave emergency approval for kids 12 and older to get the Pfizer vaccine and for adults 65 and older to get a booster. And we already know that the FDA approved all adults over the age of 16 to get the Pfizer vaccine for their regular two immunizations. And every single time somebody talks about vaccinations, he posts the photo with the date and says, "Show me where it says the Pfizer vaccine is FDA approved. You're lying. It's not." And he just doesn't seem to understand that
time has passed.
Is approved and it's under emergency approval for 12-year-olds, and it's under emergency approval for boosters, but it's fully FDA approved for the 2-dose regular vaccination. And that right there, I'm sorry, the fact that he cannot comprehend that is just a non-starter for me. He's crazy.
Fucking nailing it, homie. Nailing it.
Yeah, you are just really showing what you're worth there, buddy.
Yeah, well, my next weird-ass candidate is, hasn't technically announced, but we all know he's going to, Blake Phillippe! just so many questions. Why? Who asked for this? Did anybody ask for this? And if so, what kind of people are they? And if they are, why are they like that? Like, who wants this?
And why are you being coy, Blake? We all know it's going to be you. We all know you're going to do it. Why are you guys playing all coy?
You know what I honestly think? It's like, it's an ego thing. Because, like, if nobody gave a shit, if he did a poll and it turned out that, like, 3% of Rhode Islanders would maybe consider voting for him, he would be like, "I'm not running for governor. I was never running for governor. I was just, you know, like, thinking about it." I think he's trying to, like, test the waters and see if there's any interest, but he's too normal for the fucking Republicans, and he's way too weird for Rhode Island.
Well, I think the Republicans are actually trying. He presents himself as, like, super relatable and moderate Republican, and I think the Republicans are trying to rehab their image a little bit. Because, you know, they dropped the conservative caucus off their website. They're really trying to get away from that super, super righty Trump crazy wing of the party. So I think they're trying to, like, clean up their act a little bit.
Okay, well, maybe
for, like, Blake.
Maybe Blake is their fucking poster child and they can put him out front and be like, "See, we're respectable." But, like, the fucking people who were driving around a mere 6 months ago with, like, Confederate flags hanging off the back of their trucks, like, "All lives matter." Like, I don't think they've calmed down to that point yet, you guys. I think they're still a little fucking riled up, judging by the fact that they would rather take horse dewormer than fucking FDA-approved vaccines. It would suggest to me that perhaps your party is not quite back on, like, the level and sane playing field of, like, fiscal conservatism and, like, social orders. Like, no, they're all shitting their pants in the aisle of Home Depot because they didn't trust Dr. Fauci enough, but they trusted Alex Jones to put fucking horse paste on their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't know what to tell you, friends. Blake isn't going to happen. Stop trying to make Blake happen.
I think they're banking on the fact that they'll just go in and see an R next to his name and be like, "Yep, that's it. R, 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 R." No, seriously, that's it. Just the R. They think that's going to do it. That's their branding, the R.
Well, again, we don't know.
I mean,
we don't know the long-term effects of horse dewormer on humans, Jen.
Exactly.
So it's entirely possible that they could be losing brain cells and that's the only way that they can communicate now is it for R's or D's? R's, okay, that's mine, goodbye. Yeah, so that's another weird one in my category.
Yeah.
And What about?
And then we have my personal favorite. I say personal favorite with all intended sarcasm. Mr. Tom Iannitti. Tom, I want to like you, but you make it really hard. You make it so hard. And I like it when we're on Twitter and we're talking about food and meatballs and veal parm and all that good stuff. But when it comes
then you
to
open your mouth with a political opinion.
When it comes to, like, actual political opinion, man, yours is terrible. So here's the deal. I appreciate what he's trying to say. I just wish he would back it up. So today a study came out saying that something that we all know, which is the cost of childcare is overwhelming for families. And he retweeted the article and said that when he is governor, he is going to find a way to make our lives more prosperous by increasing wages and making corporations pay a living wage to families to the point where you can either pay whatever it is that your childcare costs are without feeling a pinch from it, or you could even have a mother or father or parent stay home, take care of a child, and you could actually live on that. So I said, that's cool. What about the single parents? And I didn't get an answer to that. And then I said, you know, what I really want to know is you've been shitting on progressives on your timeline all week, but we are the ones that at least brought about the bare minimum, which was a $15 minimum wage this year. So how do you, you know, propose that we're even going to get to a prosperous type wage when you're the governor, considering that you're never going to get a Republican leadership to say okay to something along those lines or an independent leadership? Like, what is your goal here? And I didn't get an answer to that either. So he loves to talk about these things, but he never has any kind of policy to back it up. It's just all of these big ideas, and he's going to do this, that. He tells everybody what they want to hear, but has no ideas to back it up whatsoever. And it's extremely frustrating. And I don't like him. I like him as a person. He's a fine human being. He's a decent human being. But I don't like him for governor.
I also really love that he says, when I'm governor, like, oh, did somebody read The Secret? Are you, like, manifesting it, Tom? Did you have a vision board at home?
He has a vision board.
That has just, like, you, like, superimposed on top of the, you know, Rhode Island State House, where the golden man would be, where the independent man would be, rather. Here's my issue with Tom Iannitti, okay? Because I find this highly suspicious always. I'm going to put a little asterisk on this at the end. Anybody who has to like and retweet their own statuses is deeply tragic and cannot win a race for governor. Now, I say that as somebody who accidentally retweeted her statuses twice this week.
Having fever dreams.
Can I tell you what happened? I was so fucking delirious with fever. I saw my own comment on a thread, and I was like, yo, that bitch got a point. Like, literally, that's what happened. I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I'm like, right, because you fucking said it, you dumbass. Jesus Christ, guys, I was so close to die. I really should, like, block my Twitter from being allowed to operate when I have a fever of 102.
Scott McKay clause.
The Scott McKay clause.
You have a fever of over 99.9. You have to invoke the Scott McKay clause and shut down Twitter.
Guys, I don't know what went down this weekend, but I'm not going to apologize because
she got hacked.
I did. I got hacked. My brain, with the two brain cells that were like marinating in fucking DayQuil and sickness, colluded against me and hacked into my Twitter to make me look dumb. But I left it up because I thought that shit was hilarious when I saw it when I was lucid. I was like, wow, that is funny. That's funny.
I'm very glad you hold yourself in such high esteem. See, yes. And this is you. This is you when you're at your worst. And
yes.
That's in your brain.
Me at my worst.
You're just like, this shit.
Yeah, me at my worst is I'm my own fangirl. I'm like, yeah, girl, say it. retweet it, say it again.
And this is what I like, that we find out about ourselves when we're in our own subconscious.
Seriously, I am such a good hype man. But Tom, I don't think has been sick every day for the last 4 years, that he has been the only person liking and retweeting his own statuses. Tom, I'm not voting for you. If you can't get your cousin or your fucking mom, I don't know how old he is. Maybe his mom's not around. That's not fair.
Wife. Or...
To suggest that somebody would have married that man is absolutely...
Burner account. Get some burner accounts,
man. Oh my God, right? Just make a couple bots to retweet yourself. You know what I mean? If even your wife and kids are like, nah, I'm good. Now you got this, Dad. I'm not holding signs. You got this. Like, maybe take a hint from that, you know? But yeah, I'm definitely
give
not.
Give me some substance to work with.
No, something. I don't need substance. Okay? He's been running since the last governor's election. Since the last governor's election, every fucking tweet of his has been like, when I am the governor.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Like, I'm going to start signing my emails like, future president of the billionaires of America. You know.
Maura Walsh.
Make it happen. Exactly. Maura Walsh, political consultant.
I'm signing everything political consultant. It is now.
Yeah,
we already said it.
Every time I return an email, you owe me $500. Isn't that fucking crazy? Political consultant!
Billing for my time. Political consultant!
Oh my God, can we just start adding bills to any, like, and all, I'm gonna try this. Oh, it's happening.
I'm attaching an invoice to everything. Everything.
Listen, I got a couple ex-boyfriends who are gonna have a crippling bill of emotional debt that they're gonna have to pay up on.
You want to send me one of those Mercury and retrograde ex-boyfriend text messages saying, how you doing? That I know I'm gonna get in the next week or so? You're getting an invoice.
Oh, I already got mine. I already got mine yesterday. Why?
I got one last week.
I don't. And here's what I don't understand about you tiny, pathetic, insignificant little male buttholes. This is a hard left turn here, folks. It's like, once you realize that we are not going to sleep with you, the whiplash that you should be getting from the immediate jaunt into like, fuck you, you're fat whore anyway. It's like, whoa, okay, well, you were trying to fuck this fat whore 45 seconds ago, so why don't you slow your roll, sir? Maybe take a look in the mirror if you're unhappy with the judgment that you made. And oh, what a rough hit when you said all these names to a woman who just said no to you. What does that say about you? Bro, you're the one who wanted to have sex with me. I don't know why you're talking so bad.
That was a great left turn.
That was a great left turn, but, like, it needed to be discussed because y'all need to grow up. I'm sure that by the time this episode comes out, there will be 14 more governor candidates. But as we all know, there can only be one gubernator.
There is another Republican, that David Darlington guy. He's a Republican too. I know nothing about him.
Yeah, this is the first I'm hearing of this guy, so I'm gonna go ahead and make a year ahead prediction and say, he's not our next governor.
I'm gonna agree.
Call me a psychic. Okay, put your money down now, folks. David Darlington?
Daniel? Darlington, yes. You heard it here first, everyone.
David Darlington is not going to be your next governor. Glad we could clear that up for you.
Political consultant.
Political consultant.
$500.
You can mail our checks, thank you. We are off next week because I am taking my baby boy camping for the first time. It's going to be so exciting. And then when we come back... It is our 1 year anniversary, and we're gonna have something
amazing.
Fun and exciting planned. So, make sure you go to upriseri.com, where there are is an entire section dedicated to our podcast now that has all the former episodes. Go to patreon.com/canwefixit if you want to become a patron and send monthly subscriptions. If that seems a little too rich for your blood, we are also available on Cash App at CWFI, as in Can We Fix It. And any and all donations would be appreciated. Jen, you got any plugs this week?
No, everything's done. I don't have to plug a thing.
Oh, praise Jesus. I don't have to plug anything either.
I'm so happy.
Oh, no, that's not true. I do have to plug something. Once again, our show kicks ass, as always. Rye Rank, based on everybody's feedback, has decided to change the way that they rank leadership. Last month, they made the decision to assign accountability for all bills that they rank to the Senate president, starting with 2022 rankings. After all, this is a direct statement from Rye Rank. Last month, we made the decision to assign accountability for all bills we rank to the Senate president, starting with 2022 rankings. After all, while the committees carry out his wishes, it is he who instructs them to vote as they do. After you raised the issue, while I was a guest on your show, we realized this is too important to wait. As such, we've moved up our plans and will release the remaining rankings for 2021 with this change, and will refactor the already published environmental rankings to this effect. So
that's solid.
Yeah, so everybody, you know, you were heard loud and clear. I also didn't love the answer to that question. But I also get where he's coming from of, like, if you're trying to have a standard ranking system for rank and file in leadership, like, it's very hard to it's very hard to come up with a metric that's fair to everybody. But I am really glad that it literally all it took was, like, one episode of you jackals at home just like, excuse me, actually.
But obviously it wasn't working, so.
But obviously it wasn't working, and this is what happens. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'm glad that we all worked this out. In the meantime, make sure you're checking Rye Rank for their updated listings, because it's election season, y'all, and, like, you should know where people are coming from. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Get your vaccines and your booster shots. I'm so excited. My 7-year-old is about to be eligible. What?
Yay! Oh, good for Malcolm.
Oh, he's so excited. He's been so nervy about COVID, and, like, he's really excited to be inoculated against it. Which makes him smarter.
I'm so excited that my little guy can be vaccinated.
30% of our country. So that's cool. Go be a good neighbor so that I don't have to.